Hello, world. Welcome back to another Steambox podcast. This time we are taking place in the Highlander Charter School, and I am super excited that y'all have made us the number two podcast in the world in education. We're down from number one. We were number one for a couple weeks, but we're going to get it back right now because this month our students are working on a month full of love and hip hop for all of you. So students, Steambox students at Highlander Charter School, if you could please unmute your microphones and say what's up to the world.
Hello.
What's up?
The reason that we're number one, the reason that we're number two is because number two this week, and the reason that we've been carrying number one is because we have dope guests on our podcast, right? We've had a lot of dope guests already this year. We're getting into love and hip hop right now. So last year, Billy actually got to meet Nerdcore MC Mega Ran, who has his own book fresh out. It's called Dream Master. And I couldn't believe this. When I opened up, he had a foreword. This is like a nerdcore rapper who's hung out with us multiple times. Like Billy and Lewis got to meet this dude. And this dude, when I'm reading his foreword, he's got a foreword from Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods, if you don't know, is from the WWE's New Day tag team champion, like 7 years worth of tag team championship gold. And Mega and Xavier Woods was saying about Mega Ran, yo, when I heard him and I heard him being a black nerd like me, going through a lot of the same stuff like me, I had to get out and meet him. So that's blowing my mind. Like, people are reaching out to the people who are on our show. It's dope. So I'm just really excited. I'm really excited that next week we have Samus on the show, another nerdcore rapper. Samus is super dope. And she was actually a professor at Brown here too. And we got a chance to meet her last year too. So all of that, love and hip hop, Steambox style. And this week we're bringing you Chachi Carvalho, right?
Boom, 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 boom.
Chachi Carvalho from Rhode Island MC legend. And Chachi, welcome to Highlander.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. I have like a long-standing relationship with Highlander. You know, I guess because I'm an artist, an MC, and an educator, could I claim that I'm also nerdcore? Could I like, is there like a process before I can like be official? Can I mean, like?
Right now, you're wearing an MF Doom shirt.
Yeah.
He is literally the king of the nerdcore.
Absolutely.
World.
Absolutely.
Rest in peace to MF Doom. While we're at it, you got a picture of your pop, and it's legendary, the love that you have for your pop. Yes. I can see your pop in the background. We've lost some heroes over the past few years, but staying with MF Doom, man, MF Doom is not only the freakiest lyricist, right? Like, we can diagnose his lyrics for days, but that's nerdcore hip hop. Like, this dude.
Yeah, man. Doom's an MC's MC. Yeah, Doom is a MC's MC. His, you know, wordplay, the creativity behind the way that he bounces around content, topics, and then stays within this glue of him, who he is, what he loves, what he respects. He's unapologetically himself. He's like the definition of authenticity when it comes to like art form as an MC. And I love the fact that he always preached that you don't have to, you know, fit anybody else's definition. You don't have to fit the mold that's created by society and media in order to be widely and wildly accepted. He was just a courageous MC who just
broke
a lot of barriers, you know?
That is the essence of a nerdcore MC, letting your freak flag fly unapologetically.
Word
he
up.
Did not apologize for being a black nerd who loved Marvel, loved comic books, loved wrestling, loved all of those things. You could hear it in his lyrics. And if you could hold that, then I say, yeah, man, you qualify.
Okay, cool.
You did some work at Highlander. What did you do? You built out some area over there?
Yeah, so, you know, thanks to the courageous efforts of Genie, you know, I love me some Genie, always have, always will.
Genie, say hi. Genie's in the room with us right now.
Jeannie, say what's up.
We're gonna, what's up, Chachi? We're gonna, you know, you're not off the hook. You did what you did at Highlander. Same thing with you, Roberto, but I take hostages. So we got a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work still to do.
That's right. That's right.
Can I ask a quick question? I only have a few students in the room right now. We're during the pandemic, we're during the year. Have any of you students had an opportunity to see the studio that Chachi built out at Highlander or participate in it?
The one in the music room, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I've been in it.
Who's that? Is that Isaiah?
Yeah.
Chachi, tell Isaiah what you know.
Hold on, no, Isaiah. Isaiah. Is there any way like you could pop up so I could see your face, or you like?
I got you.
Yeah, let me pop up because I want to look at you.
Tell Isaiah what you know.
Yo, first, that is like a super dope chair that you're sitting on right now, bro. That's like, what is it?
Yo, it's King Isaiah right now.
Yeah, that's like some Huey Newton, Black Panther.
Isaiah. You know what I mean?
I was like Big Daddy Kane. I'm just picturing somebody like with giant leaves feeding you grapes. Isaiah, I am like, I'm one. You're a Pawtucket guy.
Yeah.
All right. So you know, from a Pawtucketeer to another Pawtucketeer, from an MC to an MC. Yeah. I just have to let you know how impressed I am by your music. The extra record is that's hard.
Thank you.
It was like your wordplay. I could hear you. I could understand everything you said. It was exactly what I love about like the new wave, and I'm about it. Like I kind of listen and digest everything. You know, I'm a OG, and I kind of make music that's kind of from my era.
Yeah.
I have nothing but love and respect for like what you guys are doing, and you're super talented, dude. I wanted to look at you in your eyes and tell you that I'm hip, I'm in the know, and anything I could do to like help and support, man, I'm a message away. So
I definitely appreciate that, man.
Yeah, that extra record's dope, man. Like I've been listening, you know what I'm saying? And like
that's all it's about. It's all about listening. You know what I'm saying? There's rappers out here that speak to you, but like you know what I'm saying? People don't really listen to them. You know what I mean? So when I make music or when I listen to music, you know what I'm saying? I really listen to it. You feel me? So
yeah.
That's all I, you know what I'm saying? That's the type of music I want to put out. I want to put music out that people will actually listen to. You know what I'm saying? So
that's all. Hey, look. It's I got my sons on it already. My sons are already singing it.
It's good.
Keep it up.
Right now, I'm feeling love in hip hop right now. I'm feeling in hip hop right now.
So I got a couple questions. We're gonna make this an Isaiah interview. Where did you record? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what was like?
To be honest, I record at different places. The main place I record at, though, is 302. It's in Central Falls.
Yep.
So, I record over there because my older brother was really the one that put me on. You feel me? So, I record over there. Sometimes I record at Time Machine.
Yep.
Sometimes I record at BOA. It depends. Yep.
Different places. Bounce around. That's good, man. That's the best way for you to discover what works best for you. And I did a lot of that. I bounced around from studio to studio and like grabbed what I liked. I like this vibe. I like this energy. I like this process. And then I built my own, which is something I highly recommend. And then we built the replica of we got a mini beatbox over at Highlander. A sister studio that's an exact replica of the Highlander studio at Shea as well.
Oh, wow.
So for those students who are able to master or at least, you know, develop their craft of working with the equipment at Highlander or at Shea, could in essence come and operate boards at Beatbox as well at my studio in Pawtucket.
Yo, Chachi is for the people. Yeah, so if you're at home listening,
need a link up.
Just know that we got a legend.
Amen.
Chachi, right? Legend MC Rhode Island Chachi. And we got up and coming legends like Isaiah. Facts. Good question, Isaiah. Have you performed live?
Did you say something?
Isaiah, have you,
said something?
You performed live?
I can't really hear you. Hold on, hold on. What'd you say? Mr. Roberto?
I'm asking if you perform live.
Oh, nah, not really. Like, I performed one time at Time Machine. Time Machine, because they used to host, like, these, this little thing, like, the performances where, like, the artists that would go and record there would go and, like, perform, you know what I'm saying, in front of, like, everybody that would come and stuff. So that's, like, probably, like, you know, the only performance I've, you know what I'm saying?
The reason I ask you is because Chachi is famous for being a part of a crew that puts together Culture Shock. Chachi, tell me about Culture Shock and tell me if Isaiah's Culture Shock worthy.
Yeah, well, so I am the crew. So Culture Shock is a festival that basically started out because I wanted to counter what existed as the Pawtucket Arts Festival and expand the reach so that the artists and the audience of a festival that was happening within the city was an exact replication or a reflection of the community in which the festival was taking place. And I didn't see that with the Pawtucket Arts Festival. I felt like it was catering to a very specific demographic that existed around Pawtucket and not necessarily catered to the beautiful diversity that exists within Pawtucket. All of the Cape Verdeans and Colombians and Dominicans and Puerto Ricans and Nigerians and Liberians and all of our beautiful people that make up Pawtucket. So I wanted to create, I wanted to create a platform for artists of all genres, of all ages, to break down the ageism that exists sometimes within the landscape of the music industry, to break down, like, you know, I hated going to shows where you go and you pay money for like a headline and act, right? Mm-hmm. And then every single act that opens up for that act looks and sounds exactly like that act. Like if you go and pay to go see like Migos, and then they'll book like five acts that are just like Migos. And it's like there's no diversity. It doesn't like hit you in the brain and allow you to see and hopefully connect with something that's a little bit different. So personally,
do you see Isaiah being part of Culture Shock in the future?
Yeah, man. I listen, Isaiah, if you are looking to develop as an artist and it's something that you want to do, it has to be there's like multiple tiers to that, right? One is the music. You have to like constantly work on your craft and make sure that the music is a reflection of who you are as a person, because you don't want to be, you know, presenting something through your music that people aren't going to be able to look at you and meet you and connect with you and build a relationship with you and say like, oh yeah, that's that person. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people present this image because they feel like that's what the world wants to see. And then when you meet them face to face, it's like, oh, that doesn't really match. You know what I mean? That, like, that Isaiah Sosa isn't, that's not who I know. That's not who I grew up with. That's not my son. That's not my brother. And trust me, the world will check you on it. The world check everybody. Whatever you say you are, eventually somebody's going to say, yo, prove it. So, like, you know, it's really important for you to make sure that your music is a reflection of who you are and what you believe in, your values and all of that. Secondly, the business, right? Like understanding the business of music, the different opportunities that you have through your artistry to like expand as an entrepreneur, to expand as somebody who's contributing value to any room and into different industries because of the skill set that you develop as an artist, the skills that you develop as a writer, as a performing and recording artist, with interacting in the studio. There's so many different skills that are developed from being an artist and developing as an artist. Lastly, which to me is the most important, is what is the biggest fear that most people have around the world, Isaiah?
What do you mean?
What is what the biggest fear? The biggest fear around the world, if you was to survey the entire globe, it's not spiders. It's close. So, say it again.
Dying?
Flying? Nope.
No. Dying.
Dying? That might be it, but that's not what I'm going for. Jeannie, do you know?
Biggest I say fear? Failure.
Failure? Billy, what you got?
Billy, what's the biggest fear?
I said success.
Success? All right, so that all great answers. In my experience and my extensive research with surveying the entire globe, the biggest fear that most people have is public speaking.
Oh.
Standing up in front of people and talking.
Mm.
So the skills that you develop as an artist and being able to break down some of these things that most people find terrifying provides you with a tremendous asset that you could take into the workforce, that you could take into, you know, as you develop as an artist and start interacting with folks through interviews and all of that. All of that gets developed the more that you perform. So,
yo, man. Sorry, speaking of public, right? It's a worldwide podcast. It blows my mind all the time that we're ranked at all, let alone where we stand in education. But right now, we've been having a conversation in the smallest state in the United States, hyper-focused on a couple of things. So I wanna expand out a little bit. I wanna give the students a chance to ask questions, but before I do that, I wanna define terms that we've talked about so that the world who's listening in, if they're not from Rhode Island, they can understand what we're talking about. So real quick, number one, we talked about Isaiah's track being fire. What was the name of that track, Chachi?
Extra.
Isaiah, can you please tell the world where they can find your music and listen to Extra?
On all platforms, Apple Music, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, everything, Google Play, everything.
Yeah, when I get to iTunes, how do I find it, bro?
Just type in Isaiah Sosa, ISAIHSOSA.
Isaiah Sosa on all of the media formats.
Yep.
Chachi, can you tell the world real quick a little bit more about where they can find information on Culture Shock?
Excellent.
They want to learn more. Where do they go?
So Culture Shock as a festival is 3 years in. This year we had to pivot due to COVID, and it's available right now on YouTube. The festival is available virtually via YouTube. You can find all information about the Culture Shock Festival at cultureshock401.com, cultureshock401.com, and that'll provide you with links to the actual festival to watch. We had artists such as Flawless Real Talk, Joe Bruce, Nova One, Brooksana, Storm Ford, amazing artists. You can support the festival as well. There's links to be able to provide donations via GoFundMe, PayPal, Cash App, Venmo. So yeah, cultureshock401.com is the way to connect with the festival. Any artists that are interested in participating, definitely link up with me through there and we could talk.
Our audience found their way to the Steambox podcast and thereby they found their way to the Highlander Charter School students. And now we're talking about how you can find Culture Shock and how you can find Isaiah's music, which has been certified fresh today on the first podcast of Love and Hip Hop. So what I want to do is I want to bring it in. The students have prepared questions on Love and Hip Hop, and I think we were starting with some hip hop stuff. So I'm going to start with Billy. I'm going to go to Sabdiel. I think somebody asked for Sabdiel to go first. I saw that in the chat. So I'm going to go to Sabdiel first, if he's with us. And then I'm gonna go to Billy, Yanhel, Argelis, and then back to Isaiah. Sabdiel, what's your question?
My question is, do you think as a rap artist, and you think, you know, overall in the culture, do you think that certain rap or hip hop can be very emotional to the point that can be compared to Shakespeare's work?
Absolutely. There's a good friend of mine, his name is Rudy Cabrera, Rudy Rudacious. Amazing actor and poet who has said, and I want to quote him, that Shakespeare was the first rapper. And you know, to deliver such emotion, to deliver such stories in poetic form, to the point where, you know, even now, when you're first attempting to consume Shakespeare, there's a lot of language that doesn't make sense because it's from a different time period. So, you know, fortunately now we have things like Google and things like that where we can like look things up. And there's folks who have like dissected all of like Shakespeare's plays and give you breakdowns on YouTube. Now, that wasn't always the case. So prior to us having access, easy access, computers right in our hands, right? You had to like actually communicate and decode things on your own and draw clues through context and so on and so forth, which brings me to 14-year-old Chachi listening to Wu-Tang for the first time. And it was like, didn't understand. And it was like, wait, they're talking about Marvel Comics and gangster culture. And I'm listening to Tony Stark's and Iron Man and La Cosa Nostra all in this pot. And I was just like, who are these people? What are they? Are they superheroes? Are they ninjas? Are they kung fu art? I didn't understand it. And I was so pulled in by it that it just sparked everything I loved about education. It sparked curiosity. It made me like dive into an encyclopedia and look up words and ask my older cousins like, "Yo, what's La Cosa Nostra?" And I was conducting research off of listening to hip hop. And I'm sure that was the same case when folks were digesting Shakespeare and were like, hold on a second, this is a murder. You know what I mean? And like, and it's a love story that, you know, like love stories that become murder. And I'm sure as exciting as folks must have been to digest that back in those days, were as excited as a 14-year-old Chachi was listening to Wu-Tang for the first time. When I'm hearing like these sword sound effects, and I was a kid who was Saturday glued to the TV watching Kung Fu and like listening to and I was like, what is this? It had everything I loved. So
all of the nostalgia feels are kicking in right now.
Oh, Billy, man.
Billy, what do you got?
Hi. What's up, Billy? My question was, have you ever experienced heartbreak?
I experience heartbreak on a daily basis. You know, as a human, as somebody who is, you know, I'm an educator, I'm a dad, I'm a fiance, I'm a son, I'm an older brother, I'm a younger brother.
Congratulations.
I'm an uncle. Thank you. Right. I'm an uncle. I'm a dog dad. I'm connected to so many people on a day-to-day basis. I'm also like an empath and so I'm one of those educators that understand that at any day, any of my 850 students could come and dump what feels like a world of problems to them on my table and say, help. And knowing and understanding that comes from students, that also comes from my 18-year-old daughter, that comes from my 9 and 8-year-old sons, that could come from my lady, you know, and that's now, that's like today. So
yo, that's so real. That's especially the stuff with the students, right? Because you're a mentor and a teacher at all times.
All times. At all times. 24
this
hours.
This monkey pet really said dog dad.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Really said dog dad. But let me hold on 1 second. Let me peel one more layer. I think when the students came up with the concept, right? Like I think we're in the month of Valentine's Day, and I wonder if there was a romantic context to that question. Have you had heartbreak in romance?
Yes. I have. And most of it was created by me. I was never taught to expose like emotion as a young person. I was never, you know, I was always taught to like mask that, and like relationships were conquests when I was younger. It was like, you know, checklists according to my friends. And that's when I started exploring it all. It was like junior high, high school, when I started to understand and like started like liking girls. It was like, I don't want to listen to my parents, because, you know, you get to that age 13, 14, where it's like parents, teachers' opinions are like kind of counter to what's cool. And then you start listening to your peers who also don't know what the hell they're talking about because they have zero experience. So most of our opinions were based on what we were seeing, what we were listening to, media, what we were being sold. And so I was never really taught to show emotion and kind of be lovey-dovey until I had to like experience what that felt like to be like hard and be like, I don't care. Find somebody better than me, then go ahead. And then be by myself crying like, oh man, I can't believe. And then the self-reflection piece of knowing that it was all my fault, of like having these walls and being so guarded and thinking I had to impress my friends.
Do you remember being real young? And let me ask you if you heard this question, right? Because as much as we love our culture, as much as we love our hood, as much as we love our generation, with it came some toxic masculinity.
The worst.
Do you remember being asked as a young boy, right? Maybe third, fifth grade, some like that. An uncle or somebody will come up to you and ask, how many girlfriends do you have? Have you been asked that question? Like, what does that imply, right? But do they ask that question to the girls in our family? You know what I mean? They don't, you know what I mean? So it was weird math, because they're expected to have no boyfriends, but we're expected to have seven girlfriends, right? So the math didn't really add up. The toxic masculinity.
Not just that, the toxic masculinity. Coupled with the patriarchy and the nasty through the way the world operated at the time, whether that was within sports culture, from coaches to athletes, teachers to the whole student body, the interaction between police and youth, all that, the patriarchy that exists in our country. And not just our country either, because sometimes if I look back at like the way my parents, their upbringing in Cape Verde Islands, it's even worse over there. And there's still so many levels to unpack and break down of what existed in some of the small countries that exist around the globe. But here, like for me specifically, like as a dad, as a teacher, I still, on a daily basis, I catch myself either thinking or saying some like stuff that was like taught to me from when I was young. So I like pride myself on trying to be a patriarchy shatterer in my daily interactions, and to catch myself and to encourage the folks around me, whether it's my daughter, my lady, my colleagues, to like check me whenever I think, say, or do some things that are like of that old way, because I don't want to be that. I want to unlearn all of those things.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. Yep. Yanhel, you up?
Oh, so I'm gonna go off topic of my question and ask, what's your favorite MF Doom song?
Ooh, there's only one bear left. Rapper screaming all in our ears like we're deaf. That beat, the introduction.
Yanhel, what's your favorite MF Doom song?
What's my favorite MF Doom song? You see, there's not really a favorite. I like all his songs.
Yeah, man, Doom was the greatest, man. And I loved how
great producer, rapper all around.
Yeah, I love the fact that Doom set the bar for kind of what has become popularized now with like MC, so like the whole like Griselda movement and kind of everybody that's kind of underground that falls under that tier of like Griselda feels like the top of the underground right now. And then you got like cats like the Euro Droogs and the El Caminos and the 38 Special and then cats from Boston like Terminology and cats like that that started riding this wave of like samples without drums. That I feel like kind of like Rock Marciano and Rock Marciano kind of was like after like Doom that started that wave. And you know, I love that it was so, because hip hop was kind of like the drum and bass is kind of what defined it for a long time. And then for them to break down, sonically break down the beat to the point where it's just melodies and vocals allows you to kind of connect with the words a little bit deeper. And as an MC, as a lyricist, as a writer myself, I always appreciate the fact when I'm able to like connect with somebody's words, you know?
My boy asked me, what am I missing today, right? Like we asked like wellness checks on each other, like, you know what I mean? And my response, and this is true, this is this morning, this is how crazy this is. My response was, quote, "What up to all rappers, shut up with your shutting up and keep your shirt on, at least button up, yuck. Is they rhymers or stripping males out of work jerks since they shut down Chippendales? They chipping nails, Doom tipping scales, let alone the pre-orders that counted off shipping sales. This one goes out to all my people skipping bail, dipping jail, whipping tail, and sipping ale." This monkey fighter was nasty. And his death happened earlier, but it was only announced at the very end of the year. But here's the problem. It was the end of the year. What all of you have heard from other people, if not experienced yourself, was the worst year known to your generation. So this is the end. We're at the finish line. Everybody's looking forward to the new year and what 2021 brings, because it can't be as bad as 2020. Because in 2020, I lost my grandfather. I lost mentors. I lost people super close to me, and I never felt it. I never felt it. I was numb because of all the illness and because of all the death and because of all the struggle and because of the pain that my students felt. I didn't feel it. And when I heard that MF Doom died at the finish line to 2020, I broke the hell down. I never met MF Doom. We have dope people on this podcast. He wasn't one of them. I never met him. I just knew him through the lyrics. I just knew him through the music. And I broke down, and suddenly everybody's death hit me all at once at the finish line of 2020. MF Doom was real. Yanhel, that's a good question. Chachi, I appreciate you rocking that shirt, because that's like, it was an opening for me. It was like an open wound that had been stabbed repeatedly. Sorry for the tangent. I don't want to take up a lot of time because I still want to get to other people. Are jealous? Do you have a question for Chachi?
Yes, and my question is, what's a food that you love on a romantic level?
Ooh. So if you're from this area, chances are you either are or know some Cape Verdean people. And there's nothing hits like the second day of Ketchupa with some over medium eggs, kind of crack that, you know what I mean? You cut into it and the yolk kind of drips on that refried Ketchupa. Woo! Oh, man. I wish I could get, in the words of Kanye, I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could.
We're doing inside baseball again, man. I'm not Cape Verdean, man. We share a lot. We share so much in our cultures, but I don't know what this food is. Can you please break it down?
So Ketchupa is basically the traditional poor man's dish of Cape Verde. It would be what the Dominicans would refer to as their sancocho, right? So it's like huge pot, you know what I'm saying? When it's traditionally made in the islands, it's usually made outdoors on hot stones in the ground and cooked hours on end. And it's multiple layers. So even now, if you attempt to make it, you either got to use like a crock pot to do some of the process, or you're going to spend 7 hours preparing this, because the first base is hominy. Hominy, which is like a kind of like corn. It's a corn bean that puffs up. Very, very hard. Can't even bite into it when it's not cooked. So you got to cook that thing for hours and hours before it softens. A combination of various beans, kidney beans, pinto beans, white northern beans.
Damn.
Various vegetables. Kale.
You got enough beans?
Kale, cabbage, carrots. Traditionally, it would all different types of meats minus chicken would be put into it. I personally do not eat meat, so I make ketchupa vegan without any meat. Some people are like, how are you gonna have ketchupa without meat? And I'm like, yo, listen, until you try it, don't knock it. And so good, so delicious. It was meant to feed the whole village.
Yanhel, tell the world what you just said in our chat.
Mangu is the best food ever.
Mangu.
Yo, in the chat, he said mangu hits harder. Yo, I think Isaiah was agreeing with you again. Isaiah, you've had this food?
Yeah. Most of my friends are like Cape Verdean, so, you know, they let me try it when I came over their houses, you know what I'm saying?
How hard is it slapping?
It's great.
Like,
it's great. It's actually really?
You got the ball play on you?
Soul food, man. Soul food.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Hold up. Argelis can't ask a question and then dip out, right? Like, so Argelis, what food do you love on a romantic level?
I mean, now that he put it like that, I assume most Dominicans love sancocho, and that's like so good, man.
Tell the world what sancocho is.
Well, it's pretty much like a soup with, I guess, rice, chicken, vegetables, plantains, and so good. It's like,
dang. I'll try that too, no cap.
Yo, I really appreciate the love and hip hop of this episode. Like, we definitely got there with love and hip hop, right? It was a lot of love directed at you, Isaiah. But you didn't have a chance to ask a question yet. So you got a chance to give a shout out to where people can listen to you. We're talking about future collaborations with Culture Shock and where people can watch you live. But what's your question for Chachi?
Question. Jeez, I don't even know what to ask. We got so much in common. Your last name is familiar, though. My friend that I went to school with has your last name. His name is Jeremy. I don't know if you guys are related.
Not that I know of, unless he's like my son from one of those previously failed relationships that we talked about.
Oh, wow, missing in action, children. I want to give a shout out to Jeannie, because Jeannie is a mainstay at Highlander, and Jeannie pulled in Steambox to do this work over the past 2 years, and this podcast has been really special with this group. I really come out of here like today, the love that I'm feeling coming out of here. We did one about mental wellness last month, and the love that I felt coming out of that podcast. This podcast is my healing, right? This is my go-to just like spiritual wellness right here in this podcast. They also brought Chachi in to the school a couple years ago, and Chachi talked about that earlier, and he helped them build out a music studio. So Jeannie, welcome back to the show. I'm happy that you're on. Do you have a question for Chachi Carvalho?
I have a question for both of you, because this has been amazing, and I always love coming to this class. I don't know, it makes my week. It kind of keeps the fuel in my heart going. But I have a question for both of you. How are we going to keep this conversation and this work going together? Because I feel there's so much energy here from these amazing students, and they deserve it. How do we do it?
I was actually gonna ask, you know, I would love to be able to connect some of my students, even to be like a fly on the wall and like connect, watch, learn. I'm definitely gonna like put them on to be able to like, you know, for us to be weekly listeners, and you know, but any opportunities to be a contributor. I just had so much fun. I'm like looking at the clock and can't believe that we're already like, you know, at the end of an hour, and it felt like 5 minutes. So I like really appreciate the energy. I appreciate like the questions, the opportunity to connect with y'all. And Jeannie, as you mentioned before, you know, this is just the beginning. We have a lot of work that needs to be done. As educators, we gotta save folks. You know what I'm saying? We gotta save. Yeah, we gotta like, you know, my whole goal is to like help liberate young folks. You know what I'm saying? And like this, so Roberto, mm-hmm. just salute to you for you know, I've always been a fan of you. From when I first met you through our mutual friend Errol. Big shout out to my man E.
Shout out to Errol.
I know that he just started his first master's class the other day. Real proud of him, and super proud of you to like continue to keep your foot on the gas and always reinventing yourself and keeping the work in terms of like moving students from idea to fruition and implementation of ideas. That's something that you do better than anybody else that I know. So I just like, I appreciate you, and any ways that I could continue to connect and support, I'm here for it.
Man, I really appreciate you too. The feeling is definitely mutual from even back when you beat me out to a job, because when I lost out on that job, I was like, he was good. And I don't feel that way a lot. But that's true. But let me tell you quickly, Jeannie, that with Culture Shock and with Chachi's platform, just like Steambox pulled Chachi into Steambox's world today, Chachi has pulled Steambox into his world before, and we've taken the podcast to Culture Shock. And I think what that goes to show you is evidence of both of us working intersectionally and being happy to work intersectionally. Yeah. So when there is opportunity, I'm there for Chachi, and Chachi's been there for our students as well. So yeah, we will definitely make it happen again. I wanna really quickly, does anybody have any last burning thing that they wanna add, say, shout out, anything like that before we go?
Me.
Go for it.
I was a little bit nervous when you mentioned that the topic was gonna be love and hip hop, because it automatically makes me think of that show. And I watched the show a couple times. Oh, yeah. And it wasn't about love or hip hop.
Well, we're not done.
You know what I mean?
I would like to introduce everybody to our surprise guest, Lisa Quinn. Lisa Quinn dated Chachi through high school and has a baby. And we have to determine whether or not Chachi is a child. Yo, this has been another Steambox podcast from Highlander Charter School. Next week, we're back loving hip hop with the incredible Samus. If you don't know Samus, look her up. She's amazing. Chachi, thank you for being here.
Wait, hold on a second. Yo, no bars?
What's up? Oh.
No bars?
Please spit for us. And
no bars?
Spit, let's go.
Dude, I didn't realize that.
Hey,
you know.
Listen up, yo. Let me tell you a quick story. Listen, hey. Back when I thought Vicks Fierro was a Corvette, I thought Stuntin' Hard was a pair of $30 Reebok, high tops and velour sweats. Mom bought at Health Techs with a fake gold rope from Monet on your boy neck. You couldn't tell me when I slid in that boys club dance with a fresh fade in that half moon part that was sixth grade. I kept a dollar in my pocket and a switchblade. Watching fake friends, they be known to switch ways. Keep that pen on the page till you hit the stages. Life's a series of events. Gotta hit the stages of development. Hating is irrelevant. You only have to own what you accept of it. You could be the man and play the game till you retire and be done. Or you could switch, pass the torch, coach the best in your sport like Byron Leftwich. Now I wake up in the morning, hit the weight room hard. Before I leave the crib, I say a prayer to God. Kiss my wife and kids, tell them bless this crib. It is what it is, Lord, let's just live. Self-perception is based on sustainability. You could rock the same shoes, but lack the same agility. But rock the game is shocking, they ain't got the same ability. Poison the delivery, charm and the chivalry. Disarm the epitome of hate. They don't consider me a great in their vicinity. I'm more than just regional, I'm quadra-seasonal. I'm dope that's unachievable. I rope a dope and throw a wild blow that's unbelievable. I've been up and down and down and up and down again. I've been pouring out this liquid I've been drowning in. I'm surrounded by these blessings I've been counting in my... Still throwing all these pennies in the fountain. For each wish I made was a brief moment on stage where the sweet poems that I made were released, moments of rage, and then I'm right back in the same place where I started in. My thoughts are cold as ice. I'm tiny, harder than a slide on this frozen water, but I never fell. Every mountain that I climb is another story to tell. Chill.
Yo, I fell out with the agility line. I fell out with the agility
line. That's what I'm
talking about. I realized that Sim is next week. Now has to perform.
Sim's
gonna step up next week.
Facts.
And we're gonna have another podcast with you on, so you could explain to the audience who Byron Leftwich is, and who Tanya Harding is.
Y'all see that right here?
See what?
Oh, talk about. This is the definition of a hip hop nerd right here. What y'all know about this?
Chachi's got his own boombox in the background, and he just pulled out vinyl. He pulled out a vinyl record from his boombox that's custom and says Chachi on it. Yo, that's for real. Chachi, you got to send me a picture. That's going to be the picture we use for this podcast. Samus, it's on you next week. You got to come hard. Chachi and Isaiah and the rest of the Steambox crew, please unmute your microphones and say peace out to the world.
Peace, y'all. Oh, ChachiHipHop.com. Log on and check me out. Connect.
If you don't know, now you know.